world outside your window is not great, but here on Post Show Recaps, everything is low-key, pretty cool, it's pretty super, it's everything is super, it's the podcast dedicates all things super heroic, presently focused on Loki, the Marvel show, episode 4, the Nexus event. I'm Josh Wigler. I am not joined here this week by Kevin Mahadeo. Instead, I am joined here by Crocodile Kevin Mahadeo.
I like that Crocodile Kevin is also, unless it is an alligator, as we were discussing with a special guest earlier. Right.
What's that? We've got a special guest here on Everything is Super this week. You haven't heard her here in a minute, but you've heard her a lot on the Everything is Super podcast, and we're getting her takes on Loki for the first time all season. I'm mega hype. I'm super pumped. Is this the genuine article, LaTanya Starks, or is this a variant, LaTanya?
I'm a variant.
I just love the delivery that I'm a variant.
Hey, everybody, I'm a variant. I'm from Chicago. I enjoy craft beers and long walks near a beach, but not necessarily on one.
I'm a variant. Perfect. Oh my God. Well, Variant LaTanya, I missed the regular original LaTanya, but Variant LaTanya is cool, I guess.
Thanks. Original recipe LaTanya is on break.
Yeah. On Yadis. On Yadis. LaTanya, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Hey, everybody. It's so great to be back here on your ear machines. That's what they're called.
Air machines.
Mm-hmm. Your ear machines. Just like, you know.
Cut to thousands of listeners staring at the robot ears that they listen to podcasts out of.
Yes. Yeah. Or just that one giant ear that all the bachelorette contestants were talking into. That's a joke for others.
Not me.
Not y'all.
Not me.
It's great to be back here talking about this weird, weird show.
Yeah,
that we know as Loki, and back with my boys.
Yeah,
I did a very USO show. Hi, boys.
When you hopped on the call, you did. It was great. It was really wonderful. No, I'm psyched to have you back on the horn, especially as we're slightly over halfway into the show. A great chance to get some fresh takes on what's going on here, and really, what's going on. What is this? What's with all... Now we've got 1,000... Well, I guess it's not 1,000 loci. What do we have? We have six loci at the moment.
Loci?
Yeah.
Loci's.
Yeah.
If we're counting Sylvie, for sure. I think that's six we got that we've seen.
I was calling them all lesser loci's or LL's for short.
Yeah.
In my notes, but then Sylvie had to go and name herself.
Yeah. should all the loci be naming themselves? Should the baby Loki just be like, I'm Jared?
Shouldn't we all be naming ourselves to an extent, right?
Yeah.
I think at some point, you have to dub yourself something with a sword and try not to cut off your own head as you doff your shoulders.
Yeah. You get a buddy.
Okay.
You know,
get another Loki.
Get yourself an Owen Wilson.
Get yourself a very,
God.
So obviously spoilers this week. We're getting into it pretty quickly. We're talking about the fact that this episode has 1,000 Lokis. It's the big reveal. I guess it's possible.
Did this episode have 1,000 Lokis? Because technically it came after the episode, right?
Well, that was what I was going to say. I think it's possible, gang, that maybe you missed it. There's the mid-credits scene this week. It's coming earlier than they have for the previous two Marvel shows, right? Mm-hmm. WandaVision didn't do it until pretty late. Falcon didn't do it until the end.
The end.
And it was terrible. This was at least better than that, for sure. So there was a mid-credits scene in which after he'd been toasted, roasted, toasted, and burnt to a crisp, Loki wakes up in some sort of ravaged apocalyptic, I think, New York City, it looks like, surrounded by four different loci. So hopefully you saw that. If not, that happened. That's not a bit. That's real. No,
it occurred, people.
Yep.
Get with it before we change what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I have so many thoughts about this episode and where we are. I will say my biggest thought is that that post-credits is probably my favorite thing of the series so far, and might be my favorite thing that the Disney Plus series have done. But man, I just wish that ending shot was what this series was. Like, that's sort of like how we started off, right? Like, when mm-hmm. we first started talking about, like, what we're hoping the series will end up being. Like, this is sort of it. Like, this craziness. That said, like, we talked about last week's episode, or the previous one being episode 3, being like a Doctor Who episode. The ending shot is setting itself up to be like a Rick and Morty episode. And if they do full Rick and Morty style shenanigans, I'm going to be happy with that, at least. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be excited. And like, yes, I'm glad I got that one episode, at least, that was sort of like hitting what I was hoping for. But overall, I don't know, man, this episode was weird for me. Like, I think there was a lot of revelations, but not anything that like shocked or wowed me, except for the big moment when for a half second I was like, no, Owen Wilson.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. I mean, nothing shocked or wowed
you. Wowed me, yeah. Wow. And that, gosh. You know.
He literally in this episode says, gosh.
Yeah, he doesn't get a wow, but he gets a gosh.
He gets gosh.
And he gets an amen. So, you know, as the swan plays on using a theremin. In Ravana Renslayer's office, which is just classic, you know, like this person is not going to be the best of news when they're like, yeah, the theremin is what I'm into.
Yeah.
It also felt like, that's the thing too. It felt like such a weird, hard turn for that character in terms of like personality in a way. Right. Like it felt like a switch flip where I would have preferred it if it wasn't just so immediately sinister almost, right? Like it was,
I don't know.
I disagree.
Yeah.
Just because I think that it's been threaded throughout that this character has some, like, you know, this character's not being completely straight with anyone.
Oh yeah.
Neither is the TVA at all. And like Ravana's entire personality has been like the TVA above all. Without like any like dynamic with Loki that like buys Mobius like some measure of personality as well. Right. Well, like I think that like Ravana has like very clearly been like team TVA all the time. And if like the reveal last week was like TVA is no good, they're taking variants and you're all variants.
Well, there's like a difference between like not good something news. Not being good, and we all agree with that, versus going full almost like in mannerism and style, like mustache twirly. That's what I'm saying. Like, not hard turn, she's evil.
That's Owen Wilson's
it's
job.
It's more of the
throw that stash.
It's more of like the way the personality shifted versus like I'm totally fine with her being bad. I'm totally fine. The TVA is bad.
Right.
We all kind of predicted that. I think it was just, it felt like a weird personality shift in portrayal that didn't jive fully with me. But
I think I just saw it always hiding under there. That for me, from the beginning, this character seemed to have a little bit of an undercurrent of like, you know, like I've got a little bit of a nasty personality, and like, don't make me show it to you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what we get, in my opinion, this complete lie from her earlier in the episode when she's talking to Mobius about C20 and saying that C20 is dead. First of all, I don't believe that is the case, because this character is played by Sasha Lane, who is like an amazing actress and a great get for this show. And I don't think that they would have her in a prominent role. And then, you know, to the plot. Yeah. To like the ongoing, you know, what this is all about, and then have some off-screen death happen. But then we see later in the temp pad, when Mobius makes the switch, that there was some questioning that was going on. I just always have kind of thought that there was some type of undercurrent of like, this person is not great. And maybe it's just because I am suspicious of judges.
Yeah.
Like, that's what did it to me in episode one.
Like, Judge Dredd can't trust him.
No. Especially not Judge Dredd.
The Christopher Lloyd judge from Roger Rabbit cannot trust that guy.
Judge Reinhold?
Yeah.
No way.
A few judges we may have some questions about now.
Questionable,
you know?
Judges.
You know, judge a character.
It's like my entire career, like other career, is to be a judge of debates.
Yeah. Yeah. You're the only one we trust LT. It's just you. You're the only one. There's obviously a lot to get into. We're going to get into it all. It's a big episode. There's some heel turns, as we're talking about, with Ravana Renslayer is definitely on the side of the
anaconda snakes, as I like to say in my life. That means bad guy. Timekeepers belong in Disney World, not in the TVA. What's the deal? Who built them? We're going to talk about that. There are all these new loci to discuss with the great names, according to the credits, of Classic Loki, Kid Loki, Boastful Loki.
Boastful Loki.
That's so great. Crocodile Loki. So we want to know who those people are. Is Variant Loki dead? Is this hell? If he's not dead, what about Mobius? Is he okay? Like, what's the deal there? So lots to get into. We also have feedback that we'll get into. Of course, you can always send that in super@postshowrecaps.com. Send that feedback in. Before we push in, let me take a quick second to thank our sponsors for this episode of Everything is Super. Those are our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it could be hard work. You know, it's easy. Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. In describing all the things that happened in this episode, Kevin, I neglected to mention that Loki falls in love with Loki, or I should say Sylvie, in this episode. So yes. And that seems to be the Nexus event. It's a little weird to fall in love with yourself.
Well, yeah, so that part made me, I mean, look.
I'm all about, like, learning to love yourself. We've been talking about this on the podcast. I think that's cute, but, like, there's probably, like, a little bit of a line.
The line for me, though, isn't even, like, here's the thing. I would be okay with it if it was just, like, Loki fell in love with himself, right? But they made it where it's just like this theme that loving yourself is a Nexus event. It's world changing to finally love yourself. That I kind of gag just a little bit, because like I know that I'm obviously a guy who normally doesn't like sappy stuff, but that just felt too much.
Kevin notoriously self hating.
It felt like I love, you know, like I really liked the WandaVision, you know, line, like that was really good, and obviously it's created a lot of memes. But like this idea of just like loving yourself as a Nexus event was just a little too much for me, where I was just like, all right, chill out. But I honestly, like, I don't know. I'm so torn about that, because I would have, one, preferred it if Loki just did not have a love interest. I feel like that's unnecessary. Two, if there was going to be a love interest, you know, we kind of hit on this earlier, but they introduce they are once again claiming is like the first bisexual character. Loki's bisexual confirmed, but of course it's a female version of him. So you confirm a bisexual character and have the first on-screen love interest for them still be someone of the opposite gender, which is, again, like just, oh, sure. And then lastly, I think the Loki falling in love with himself would be weirder, or at least, and like super more interesting, if Sylvie acted a little bit more like Loki. Like the way Sylvie acts isn't Loki-ish as we've seen the character, and it would have been so funny if like this character fell in love with someone who legit was just like
himself.
Him.
Yeah,
that would have been so funny and so much more interesting.
You're saying the issue is less like Sylvie the character and more Loki falling in love with someone who's not exactly like Loki.
Right. Like it's
because like she's not exactly like, I mean, like she's like, we see her like removed from her circumstances as a kid, and then she's like, I'm living like, you know, the entire rest of my life in apocalypses. Like that person's not going to be like the total prankster, like, you know, levity, like carefree prankster. Yeah.
Everything is survival mode for her. Like,
it could be equal of falling in love with anyone else is what it would have ended up being. It's just Loki by name, you know? And so those are the parts of that I really just wasn't jiving with and didn't like, where I was just like, come on guys.
Yeah.
See, I kind of love it.
Because I love the idea of it. I love the idea of it. I just wish that they executed it better.
That's a fair criticism. I kind of love it, because I just think that the chemistry, like the scenes between those two characters have been really good, in my opinion. Like, I think that they have really great chemistry. I think they play well off of one another. And I think in a way they've kind of like enchanted each other.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in a way that they were, that, you know, she was trying to enchant him. He was probably trying to enchant her at the same time. And I think they kind of got this like mutual enchantment thing going on. It's also just, you know, you're right that the message in the larger story point is, the point is supposed to be that Loki needs to have love and acceptance of himself in order to be able to operate in the world and not be, you know, a dictator and murderer. But also, right, that of course Marvel would choose to confirm, you know, for the fourth time, maybe a third or fourth time, that a character is bi,
right,
or, you know, like otherwise than heterosexual, and then put them in a heterosexual relationship. But the thing that I kind of like about it is that they're so different, that they're kind of amazed by what the other can do. And their differences complement one another in a really interesting way. So the strengths that Sylvie has make up for the weaknesses that Loki has. And I think that he's self-aware at this point enough to recognize that. And so, you know, those beats work for me. And I also think that Owen Wilson as Mobius is completely right, that Loki is exactly the type of character who would fall for himself, because he's so self-centered.
Yeah.
He's such, like, I mean, that's always been what we've known of him.
Yeah, and that I like. Like, again, I like that part of it. It's just, you know, it works for one, doesn't work for the other, is totally fine. I mean, it's one of those, like, I'm fine with it. I wish they did it a different way. What can you do? I mean, right. Really, that's almost like my review of the show right now. I'm fine with it. I really wish they did it a different way.
It's a Disney Plus Marvel show. Like, right. There are ways in which it's really, really fun. But this is like, I think, three in a row now that I feel like could we like define like what the thing is? Like, because there's a thing, right?
There has to be a through line, right? Isn't there a show?
There's a thing. There's like a thing where, like, I think, like, so to bring in some feedback early, we're gonna hear from him next week. In fact, because I'm gonna be away, he's gonna step into the podcast in my stead. Another familiar face here, or voice, as it were, on Everything Is Super. Mixmaster Mike Bloom is going to be stepping up to the mic next week while I'm gone. We love a Bloom. And so Mike can maybe expound upon this next week a little bit more, but he did write in. He said, this episode was absolutely wild, but I still think this series suffers from the same issues all Disney Plus MCU shows have had so far. Timing and plotting.
Yep.
Timing and plotting. Because I do think that, like, I think, like, your point of, like, I wish that the end of the episode was more of, like, all of the Lokis rather than, like, we're drawing out the love story. Like, I think that the Disney Plus shows so far have been, with, like, WandaVision's, like, early going, especially, an exception. I think they're, like, movies stretched out over 6 hours or whatever. And you feel that. At least I do feel that, instead of them being, like, treated like television. And that's going to work really, really, really well for a lot of people. It's going to work really poorly for some. And I think, like, for me, I kind of, like, find myself like, okay, well, then we've gotten, like, three, like, really fun shows that are, like, firmly, like, mid-tier MCU for me, is kind of where I'm landing.
Yeah, they're fine. Like, I was thinking about this last night, because none of these shows, like, thinking about the three shows we got so far, and, like, maybe Loki is going to do something crazy at the end and really make me, like, just like, whoa, you know, but none of these shows comes close to me, like, not even in the ballpark of something like Daredevil season one, Jessica season one, the first half of Luke Cage season one. It's not even a contest how much better those shows were. And they did the same thing, which is character studies, because they were really grounded, but they did it in a way that I think the plotting was stronger. I think the like themes were like really, really interesting. I think there was a lot more to those shows. And I don't know, it's, I hate to say it, but it's almost like when people kept telling me, like, all the Marvel movies feel the same, and they're just, like, this cookie-cutter Disney thing. I didn't really feel that for the movies at all, and I don't think I will. But I'm actually feeling it for the shows just a bit. And I think that's where it hits me, where it's just, like, this doesn't have the magic that I feel like the movies have. And, of course, it's TV. But at the same time, like, I feel like they could. And I wish they just put a little bit more into the story of it all, because the casting in, across the board is so good. And a lot of the things they do is really cool and interesting. But it's just like they put a little bit too much in one area without really pulling it off in the other. And like it's probably not fair to compare it to the Netflix stuff, but like, you know, it's an easy comparison. And like I keep coming back to that idea, and I'm hoping something will come along to like hit that level, but it just hasn't done it yet. And yeah, I think about those, especially Jessica and Daredevil, those first seasons that were just so, so well done.
LT, this is your first time getting to talk about Loki in full. So like what has your experience been like week to week? Like, do you find yourself like enjoying this about the same amount as Wanda and Falcon? Are you more, less? Like, can you like define like where you're at with the show and your experience with it so far?
Yeah, so I think that the reason that my takes are so different, which obviously like isn't a bad thing, this is what we want like in these podcasts, is that I have not been watching week to week. I've kind of gone on a like a bit of a horror movie kick lately.
Yes.
I've honestly been watching horror movies like nonstop. Like,
everything is horrible is coming together.
Can't wait.
I'm psyched for it. It will happen one day.
It has to happen.
It will.
At this point.
It will.
So, and the other thing is that, you know, my Wednesdays were kind of taken in terms of programming because I had The Handmaid's Tale and Cruel Summer. And
I
so those
Cruel Summer.
Yeah. Cruel Summer is a show that I, didn't really know what I was getting into when I started watching it. I had a couple episodes on Hulu that it kind of built up from there. It's a freeform show, so you never know what you're going to get. But I recommended it on the Discord, which you should join, especially at the $10 level. And it's the first of the month, so it's an excellent time to do so.
This is a great time to sign up for the Post Show Recaps Patreon program, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. It is the start of a month. This is always the time we're really trying to push it. Come be our friend. We've got cool things. Join us. It's going to be a great time. You'll love the choice that you've made.
You see what I did there?
You did a great
job. That's the sound of the price going up.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway.
We got to talk about the rate.
So I've watched this as a binge.
Yeah.
I watched all of the episodes on Tuesday. Wednesday.
Yeah.
And so it's been a vastly different experience for me from what I've heard of you all and what you've talked about on the podcast, because I have listened to the podcast as well, like leading up to this. So for me, it started off slow, like WandaVision did, in my opinion, with the exception of the magnificent, like, you know, Loki was D.B. Cooper. D.B. Cooper
so funny, yeah.
Is just like one of the great true crime mysteries of life for me that I've always been incredibly interested in. There's a really great documentary on HBO Max about D.B. Cooper for those of you all who are as obsessed as I am. But I thought that that was fantastic. And so this is one of those things where I got to have the instant gratification of seeing what was going to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that's what's made me really, really a lot more invested in the show. I wonder how it's going to change now that I am so invested and it will be a week to week watch. But the other thing to look out for is the fact that this, I believe, is the only Disney Plus show that has already been greenlit for a season two.
That's the rumor, at least. It certainly hasn't been announced. But like, I would love to see a season two with, and I think like this is a good chance to start getting into this, is like now we are at the point where like we had talked about this early on in our podcasting of like this is an opportunity. There's so many different types of Lokis. Like, we're doing multiverse type shenanigans, timeline shenanigans. This is a perfect time to do Lady Loki, Kid Loki, all sorts of different Lokis. And so now we have, between the variant, we've got Sylvie, and now we've got former. We have like six active Loki in the house. And like, I hear what you're saying, Kevin, about like, give me that Rick and Morty style. Like, I feel like, you know, forget the Thunderbolts, although that would be cool to get like evil Avengers, dark Avengers someday. Like, give me a Loki show that's like the Loki super squad. Like, I mean, I guess we have to see how it plays out. All due respect to the kid might be terrible. Like, I don't know. You know, I've got no idea. All due respect to the crocodile might be terrible.
He might be the worst actor or the best actor. Who knows? We'll have to see. That crocodile could be a star.
But, like, I'm seeing my guy, Ariel Hota, who is, like, one of the only cool parts of Dorne on Game of Thrones as boastful Loki, and he's got this sick hammer. I want to know more.
It's, like, made up of auto parts.
I need to know, and I really, 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 I need to know if the crocodile Loki is like going to have like a Bradley Cooper voiceover or something like that. Are they just going to go Rocket Raccoon with it?
I hope so.
Also, is this crocodile Loki going to be from the same universe as Frog Thor? So is this like paving the way for Frog Thor someday, which would be sweet. But I have to see Richard E. Grant act very seriously in that costume. I need it. I need it. He looks like the classic comic book characters. He's classic Loki for a reason, but it looks utterly ridiculous, and they really went for it with like the bright green pop. He looks like a lemon lime drink, you know, like he just like, I just want to have perfection. That citrusy beverage.
That post credits got me so excited for an episode that I felt like pretty like meh about, and like even the ending with the We'll talk about that ending fight because I think we need to. But even after all that, like the post credit scene, I was like out of my seat, like yes, yeah, you know, like Loki in Thor Ragnarok, like Thor.
Look, Tanya, I want you to know how poorly that excitement from Kevin translated to text. I told Kevin, let me know when you watch Loki. He says probably not till tonight. I said post credits, stick around, and then he responds at 11:57 p.m. last night. A crocodile. That's all he said.
An alligator.
A crocodile.
I wanted
a crocodile.
I mean, it's hard to convey it all. Like I just
tone is hard to convey in text, but it was literally just a crocodile.
I love it. It got me like and Richard E. Grant in that outfit. Like it's just there's so much in that one shot that encompasses everything I was excited about for this series, everything that excites me about the multiverse, like your whole thing where it's just like, I want to know like who that folks with Thor is. It's just like, that's the stuff about the multiverse that gets me so excited, because there's so much potential. There's so much story that you could do there, right? Like there's just in that one shot, there's just so much storytelling in one image. And I feel like that's what I wanted, right? And so I'm really excited for the next episode for that reason, hoping that they delve more into it. Part of me is really worried we're going to get like 6 minutes of it and then they're gone. And I'm like, ooh. But I mean, we'll see. Also, it does give me slight hope, because like, obviously Owen Wilson gets zapped and I was just like, oh man, that sucks. Like, there's a possibility that they did it, right? Like they actually killed off a main character like that. The moment Loki got, you know, zapped, I'm like, oh, they're fine. But then,
because we don't know what happens when people get pruned. That's the thing.
I'm hoping what it is that you go to this, like, I'm hoping Loki isn't in a place where there's like a bunch of different people. I hope that's like almost like the prison for all Loki variants. And then there's somewhere else where there's going to be a prison of all Owen Wilson variants. And I want to see a flash of that place.
There's a reason, right? I think it's likely that Mobius is dead. I think it is likely that Mobius was pruned and that's for real. There's always more variant Mobiuses, so it's certainly not the end of Owen Wilson, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's the end of that Mobius. Also wouldn't be surprised if that guy is kicking around. But I would say, like, it feels like it makes a lot of sense for these Lokis to all be together, because, like, Loki created the TVA, right? Like,
yeah, I also...
That's where we're going, right?
I hope not.
It's interesting because it seems like they have to get all of the Lokis. Like, it seems like the TVA is out to get all of the Lokis. And my primary...
One Loki to rule them all, LaTanya. There's a top Loki.
Yeah. My primary reason for saying... Loki.
Yeah.
My primary reason for saying that is that we at the beginning of this, and I know we've kind of like, you know, in a roundabout way gotten back to this, but at the beginning of this episode, we see when Sylvie is taken by the TVA and she's a child. And I'm like, how does this child become a variant? Did she play with the wrong toy at the wrong time?
Yo, legit, LaTanya, I hoped that, like, that scene in the elevator, I was hoping that was going to be it. Because imagine, like, how effed up that would have been. Like, it's one thing where it was just like, I don't remember. It makes it feel like that's more on, like, Ravonna being, like, cold and heartless. But imagine if the answer was, well, you played with the toy in the wrong room. That would be like, oh my god, the TVA is crazy! Like,
because Miss Minutes sets that up in episode one, right? When, thank God, Loki found his ticket.
Yeah.
And Miss Minutes, played by the fantastic Tara Strong, mm-hmm. which is such a great get, is doing this whole spiel about the TVA. First of all, a long time ago, what does that mean?
could be a galaxy like, far away from.
Yeah, like, when did this happen? And did it is it going to happen? Like, what are you talking about? This is time. But anyway, like, it talks about how essentially you can either become a variant by knowingly doing something that goes against whatever the sacred timeline is, or just being late for work. Like, what are you saying about? Like, does one become a variant? And I was like straight up pissed off. Like, I was already rooting at this point for Sylvie just because I think that Sophia DiMartino is doing a really great job in this as his character. And she's a great character actress. I hadn't realized that what I'd seen her before is this tiny little Netflix show called Flowers, which her husband, I think, happens to write and direct and also stars Olivia Colman. And I was on an Olivia Colman kick. And the show Flowers is on, and she plays like this very, very like wild character who's like the daughter in this family, this incredibly dysfunctional and dark family, and she's wearing this ridiculous wig, her face is completely covered. So I didn't realize that's what I knew her from, but she's great in this, and so I was already kind of rooting for her because of that. But to see when and how she got, you know, snatched up by the TVA and escaped, I was just like, what did this kid do?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like,
well, I think if the thrust of the show, whether you like it or not, is like Loki learning to love himself, right? Like, that seems to be sort of like the journey, right? Like, accept yourself, be a better version of yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, you are a scoundrel. That could be good. That could be fun. But you're also, you know, you can be a warrior. You can be this. It's really about, like, learn to love yourself is sort of like the message. And I think, like, there is probably, at least I could imagine, and I'm starting to like kind of like try and lens it this way, that if it's about like learn to love yourself, then it's also like learn to accept or combat and confront the things about yourself that you don't love so much. Mm-hmm. And so if they're like literalizing that with all these characters, then I think it stands to reason to some extent that there has to be like a boss Loki. There has to be a bad Loki. And if there is, then there's like a Loki that does want to be at least, if not the god of all things, then at least the god of all Lokis, and is going to be targeting all of these other versions of himself.
Mm. And so then we end up in Jet Li's the one.
It's kind of like the one. It's sort of the one.
Well, I mean, he does say in the first episode, Josh, to like agree with you, is this the greatest power in all of the universe?
Yeah, I really thought in the moment before he gets pruned in the timekeeper's chamber, when he turned to her, I was fully expecting him to be like, we will figure this out. And she's like, how? And I really thought that he was going to be like, because we are the timekeeper. Like, we did this. Like, he's like putting together that, like, it's like I can feel in my bones that this is power that I crave. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that feels like the struggle. Like, how many times have we, like, it's Mephisto, you know, it's Kang the Conqueror, and we know Kang the Conqueror is coming, and maybe it is, and that would be great, and that would be cool, but, like, within, like, the show that we've got right now, mm-hmm. I feel like the shoe that drops, especially with, like, the consistent unveiling of all of these different versions of the characters, that there is still, like, one version out there that's just, like, like a person who didn't get some of these like redemptive chances, or like threw them away or didn't care about them, because like all of us have the capacity to do terrible things, and like that's like the theme that they're gonna expand upon. Anyway, just planting my flag on that. I kind of think that that's where we're going, and that's why I'm thinking like Sylvie was targeted when she was young, because she's somebody who's like gonna be like, you know, my biggest and like my own, I am my own worst enemy, right? Like I am like the thing that can undo myself. So I need to target all the myselves, to put it in like Bill and Ted parlance.
That makes total sense.
The evil us's.
I mean, I guess it makes sense. I don't know.
I love it, but I feel like that feels like a lot.
I'll tell you now and plant my flag. Like, I won't love it, but sure.
Oh, I'll hate it.
It's a direction, and maybe they'll do it. I would definitely not like it. I don't know. I just the other thing for the Loki loving yourself and accepting yourself and all that other stuff is just I find myself in a situation, which is why I really wish the show was something else, where it's just like, we saw this done a little bit better over a longer period of time, and through actions and, you know, change that we saw through gradual stuff, versus it's going to happen in six episodes again. And instead of like the actions, we're really actually mostly seeing people talk about it. The moment in Thor Ragnarok that solidifies a massive character journey is literally through an action without having to say the words is, that would be really great if you were here. And he throws it and Loki catches it. And you're just like, God damn. And that is a moment of just right there, a character journey and something happening. Versus in this, it's constantly just like, wow, you've really changed, Loki. And it's just like, gosh. Yeah, we know. Yeah. It's a lot of telling. And it's a journey that I've seen, hence why a lot of me just wanted this to be like, just let him be like a-hole Loki mucking up around time. Like, that would have been a really entertaining show instead of seeing a character journey that I saw better done, basically, before, which is part of the other rough thing, is that I'm seeing almost a rerun. I'm seeing a variant of a story I've seen done with this character.
And, you know, that's interesting as well, because in some of the other like reading and listening that I've done, not about this episode, because I try to come into podcasts with just my thoughts, but in some of the other reading I've done about the series, the way that the people who are in charge of like show running and directing got the jobs that they got was essentially to talk about all of the throwbacks that they wanted to pay homage to in the show. And so it would make sense that you would feel like this was a little bit recycled at times, because they literally are like, it's a reference on top of a reference for just about every bit of the show. I mean, like, you know, when Sylvie goes in and just like takes off the head of one of the timekeepers, and we find out they're freaking androids.
Yeah.
It's really kind of like, you know, there is no man behind the curtain. It's really Wizard of Oz.
Wrote down Wizard of Oz at the beginning of the episode.
I mean, yeah, you could see that. The setup of the chamber, right?
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So like it's those references. And then, you know, and another reference, and this is a character journey that I'd like to talk about, 'cause I love this actress, as you all know. Wumi Misaku's
D15.
Yep.
It's the Blade Runner crying in the rain scene that we get like the callback to. And even like during this like extremely what had to be terrible for the actors, like rainy time, we can see when Sylvie is starting to like give B15 a glimpse back into her own memories. Her old memories of like who she was as a person. And she says, I was happy. She's crying. Yeah, like you could tell that those tears are happening.
And that seems amazing.
It's such a good scene.
It's really good.
Like, I want more of that in terms of character development. I want more of what we get with C20, even in terms of character development, which I think there will be more of. I don't think that character again is dead, but I also want to say, can we please just give Wumi Misaku all of the awards in advance for every project that she has done and might do, because I love her so much.
Yeah.
And I think that her character journey has low key been one of the best in the show for me, because she went from being this very like militant, like to the second prune everybody, like let's not even have a discussion about it, to the point where she's like nearly pruning one of the people that works with the TVA by mistake, to looking at this like Big Brother-esque poster and being like, you know, I got a glimpse of something and I need to know whether or not this thing is real. And we know that it's real. We get C20 saying in the episode before, it's real, it's real, it's real. So it's hard, especially in this compressed format where the show is supposed to be about Loki and then variant like Lokis, to get all of the character development that we want. So we don't get as much as you would like, for example, Kevin, in Ravonna Renslayer's kind of heel turn, unless you know like her kind of lineage from the comics and who she's aligned with and her who her love interest is in the comics.
It's not the heel turn. I think it's just the attitude change, it's the directing and acting choice, I guess, is it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm fine with literally everything else in the turn. It's just
right.
It's just the acting choice / directing choice was all. And that's so, again, that's like a minor detail. But I agree with you wholeheartedly about the character journey for B-15 and the stuff with C-20 is great, because it's new characters who are going through a different journey.
Right.
And so that's why, like, the Loki being the focus is, like, it's redundant. And I get the references. It doesn't feel like it's referencing the Loki stuff. It just feels like it is making references to pop culture, but like mm-hmm. references does not always a story make, or else Epic Movie is a masterpiece, which I refuse to accept.
Oh my God.
So the Tears in the Rain scene is beautiful. It's amazing. It's great. Very well done. I think that's a great reference. I think that was well executed.
I've seen things you wouldn't believe.
it's so good. Versus this other reference, and this is a overall weak point of the show, trying to do the Last Jedi scene was a mistake, one. And two, like, the choreography is still not good for these fights. And it really was very blatant in that moment where they're trying to mimic, I think, one of the best choreographed fight scenes I've seen in Star Wars. And so it was such a weird contrast in those moments.
Does that make
the references?
Is the Nexus event to the Marvel Cinematic Universe as the Force Dyad is to Star Wars?
I hate you so much for doing that.
Do you, though?
I hate you so much for doing
that. Don't you, though?
It's,
I mean, how many, like, it's not even going to be a dyad at the end. There's so many Lokis.
A
Loki party is what we're going to call that.
Oh, nice. I like
the other part. For the choreography that gets me too is that this goes back to, I think, a weirdness with the show, in that they really want the punchy kicky stuff, even though Loki's not that guy. Like, that's not Loki. You can have Sylvie doing it, sure, but like, when Loki has his power, why is he not teleporting like he did, like when the collars come off? Mm-hmm. Like, we've seen Loki fight before, we've seen how he does stuff, we've seen what makes him unique. He's not Thor. He's not there punching and kicking,
right?
Like, he's there like shifting, mimicking, like doing all this stuff. Where was all of that? That could have made a really awesome fight scene and unique to the character, especially if you want to do the contrast against Sylvie, who had to grow up a warrior. Instead, they're both just punching things. And I think, like, this is what Josh and I were saying last week, right? Is this going to end in a Marvel way mm-hmm. with, like, a big fight? And I'm like,
I hope
it feels like it's gonna, and that's unfortunate for, like, this particular situation and this particular character.
And what's really interesting about that, Kevin, is that they go through such lengths to try to, at least they said that they have gone through such lengths to try to differentiate Loki's fighting style from anyone else's fighting style in the MCU. It's supposed to be more like water dancer fluid kind of style, whereas Thor is like all force, like all like strength all the time. But it has just turned into leg sweeps and kicky punchy flippy.
I would have loved it if they had that, like having him do like not Capoeira obviously, but like more like Tai Chi fluid movements mm-hmm. or something, like things like that. I think would have been really fascinating, really interesting to see that contrast. Like a great one in the Justice League animated series, they do this thing with Hawk and Dove, who one is like, you know, like the aggressive, angry one. The other one is like the peaceful, complacent one. And like when you see them fight, Hawk is throwing punches all the time and Dove is using judo essentially to redirect their energy. And I'm like, that's an awesome contrast in the fighting styles that right. made sense with the characters. And it's like one of those things that I wish they did that here.
And that they seem to have different powers. Like we see in that like Roxxon Corporation store that they're in during that one apocalypse, I guess. What was that? Episode 2, 3?
I think that was 2. Yeah. With Roxxmart.
Oh, yeah. Roxxmart, where he is like able to like use, what is it called when you can like float something to you?
Telekinesis.
Yeah. Telekinesis. Mm. So like, why isn't he doing that?
Yeah.
More. You know, we see
he stopped a building.
Wow. Like, by the way, the things I would do with telekinesis. My God, the ways in which my life would improve.
Oh, it would be so much better.
Oh my God, it would be great. Like it is. Like forget like flying cars. Forget like all of the things we need to fix. Just get me an implant that has telekinesis abilities.
Is that your like superpower that you would have? If you
know,
could
I hadn't thought about it until recently. I still think like probably invisibility would be good. Mm-hmm. Like at least if I could like turn it on and off, invisibility would be good because then I would like just go to a party and it gets awkward and I'm just like, all right, bye.
That's what I'd do anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I do anyway, but I get caught because I'm not spry. We've got a lot of feedback that I think will drive the rest of the conversation. So let's dig into it. This was from Ryan. Ryan said, my only issue with the episode was the Nexus event that got them saved. Isn't it a paradox that them forging a bond creates the thing that saves them? Because if they're not saved, then nothing on the timeline change. And then Ryan continued, and this I do need some help with. Ryan says, one more big issue. Did they just yada yada the TVA's reaction to the bombing of the timeline? Did they clean it up? If so, how was Sylvie's plan useless? Yeah.
Yes.
I guess I have that question.
Yes, which bothered me a lot that they just yada yada.
I really thought we were like on Lamentus last week because like when we would come back to this, like you'd be kind of like forced into some measure of endgame because that's such a major thing that happened. And it did feel like that was so like all urgency surrounding that felt totally gone this week. I really did feel that. I didn't love that.
Yeah, the timeline's back to normal. We see at the beginning that's a straight timeline again. And so like there's a point up to that where it's just like they yada yada'd over something cool. So I mean, Sylvie's plan made sense in terms of like what they were trying, what she was trying to do, bomb the timeline, make a distraction, get in the elevator, take out the timekeepers, right? And just the fact that they fixed everything so quickly, you're just like, oh, okay. And so like, yeah, it is, I don't know, the show, like a lot of the Marvel shows feels like they tease a lot of stuff and then don't do the thing that they're teasing and instead just sort of just like brush over it. Like they want to get us hyped, but then don't actually pay off a lot of it. But the Nexus event stuff is 100% like paradoxical. Doesn't make a lot of sense because like them fought, like him learning to love himself created a Nexus event, but then they got saved. So how the Nexus event got created, because if he fell in love with himself, they would have been wiped out by the blast anyway. So they would have been Armageddon. So it should have created a Nexus event. So why did that happen?
The paradox itself seems to be the Nexus event.
But what's the paradox? I guess the paradox is just a Loki falling in love with a Loki, but the paradox should be a Loki meeting a Loki. So it should have been, the entire thing should have been a full Nexus event the moment they got to Lamentus.
Yeah, but it's when feelings get in the way that things get really hairy. This is from Ben. Ben writes in, he says, it's definitely a paradox, but not necessarily an inexplicable one. The TVA weren't looking for them to reset the timeline. They were looking for them to bring them back. So I can see why that could cause an issue in terms of their Nexus detection. If the detection is the timekeeper seeing things go off track and they see that they'll be brought back without resetting that timeline, then the Nexus event is real. It's kind of like Lost's approach to the incident. I guess spoilers for Lost, very lightly. The Nexus event, Kevin, don't shake your head. You bring up Lost almost as much as I do.
That's very true.
The Nexus event is a self-fulfilling prophecy because no one knows that the right response is to leave it alone. Yeah, I mean, like that is like sort of like the thing of like, you say what you will about Lost, but Kevin, you do often say like you really enjoy how Lost handled time travel.
And
like
handled it beautifully and wonderfully, and I agree with that part. I don't think this is that. I don't think this is paradox. This doesn't fit the paradoxical equation of it, because like the looking for them, it like the timekeepers wouldn't acknowledge that it's a Nexus event to branch the timeline, because one, we know they're not real, but two, they would have just let them get wiped out, because that would have solved the Nexus event problem. That's the whole Armageddon theory about hiding in the Armageddon. So like that branch, and that branch so extreme that they wanted to point it out, doesn't make sense. I think in a way it is very much just like they wanted a meaningful theme moment and overlooked the logic of it, which could happen. That happens in stories all the time. And I think that's sort of like what happened there. It's again like when Loki stopped that building from falling on him in the previous episode, that we're like, are they gonna talk about that? And then they have not at all. And I don't think they're gonna.
Yeah.
It was really pretty slight, and then that, you know, the Apocalypse was beautiful.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. The ends of the world should look this beautiful all the time.
I mean, that
how many Armageddons I would cause, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that was, I thought that was like strikingly beautiful.
That was the shot from the trailer that we've referenced a couple of times, Kevin, where like people thought that was Scarlett Johansson on Boromir. Yeah. Is that like lingering shot of Loki approaching and sitting down next to Sylvie? A lot of people thought that was Widow.
I consulted Robin about the hair, and Robin said, yeah, but Black Widow had a braid. You would have seen it.
I thought about that as well as I was watching the scene. I had not thought about it up until that moment.
Black Widow had the worst hair in the history of time in Endgame. So
that's Robin's thing too.
Robin. You would have seen it from any distance.
Amazing. Incredible. Torby, who loved the episode, Torby says, I think / assume, haha, dangerous, Torby. The sacred timeline outright just is not a thing. There's nothing sacred about this universe they're protecting, just pruning others to ensure the safety of it. And using my working theory of Kang, which is a hill that I will die on, is what Torby says, maybe the TVA is protecting the timeline in which Kang is victorious and are pruning those at risk of threatening his reign. I do think that there is a significant amount of this that gets explained by virtue of the fact that, like, there isn't a sacred timeline. It's nonsense. Like, the point is that, like, to quote a different show that we podcast about on Post Show Recaps from time to time, all life is precious. Not to trigger anybody who remembers that from Walking Dead. But like, that seems to be like an idea that's at play here. And certainly as like, we're going to start expanding more into like multiverse stuff, maybe like Multiverse of Madness is like a horror show, but like, how are we ever going to like be put in the position with the next Spider-Man movie to like root against the fact that like Tobey Maguire is back? Like, we're going to love that. Like, that's going to be great.
I'm going to be rooting against it.
It's only going to be presented as it's a lovely thing. That's the only way that they're going to do it.
Tobey Maguire. I'm against it.
You know, but that's what they're going to try and do, you know? Yeah. So I think that I think like that's part of it, is like there isn't a sacred timeline. Like there is a conspiracy to protect the timeline, but it's not like this is what it has to be. Like that's getting blown open.
Interesting thing where you could be like, what happens when you just let systems run even though, and not question it? Because like let's suppose there were timekeepers. Let's suppose they existed. Let's suppose they this is millennia, right? Like this is time forgotten, time forever. There was three people who had exorbitant amount of powers. They started this idea of a sacred timeline. They built a machine. They built the TVA, and they kickstarted it going. They built an algorithm that is set to track and follow and eliminate any variants. And eventually the timekeepers all died, but the machine still runs. The cog still goes. Everything keeps moving. The TVA and its people are still in this machine, and they function, and they do it, and they follow what this machine has said because it's been programmed to do so. And all of a sudden, they're just like continuing on and just eradicating people for playing with toys in another room. No one questions it. No one worries about it. Everyone just keeps moving. So there's something there that's interesting. Like, what if it existed? What if there was a system here and everyone just followed it blindly, and this is where it ended up? In this idea of a false sacred timeline, like, that could be interesting. That could be fascinating. I think more so than just what if Loki created it. But like, I don't know if they're going to go that way with it. I don't know if that's going to ultimately be it. I assume we're going to find out because Sylvie has, you know, confronted Ravonna and wants to know, you know, tell me everything. So presumably that will happen.
Yeah. Plus, I cannot with the explanation when Loki rightfully asks, like, what about all of the time shenanigans that happened with the Avengers? And her response was, well, that was supposed to happen.
Right.
What does that even mean? Like, right. How arbitrary is all of this if you just decide that certain things are supposed to happen? So that means that, like, Steve Rogers going back into a different timeline to be with like his the love of his life was supposed to happen. And then he was supposed to come back again. Like it's just allowed for some people, but for some it's not. It's just the arbitrary nature of it that has been bothering me since the beginning of the show that I'm really hoping someone explains at some point.
Never. No one will explain it.
Also, are they going to say who Ravana's like other top agent is? I'm curious because they call him twice now.
It's Loki. When in doubt, it's Loki.
Tanya and I both had this.
When in doubt, it's Loki. What show are you watching? It's Loki. It wasn't Mephisto. It was Agatha all along.
I don't need it to be Mephisto. I don't need it to be Loki. Anything. It's but Loki. Like that's like one of those things where it's just like, ooh, the worst.
It's Loki,
answer.
And if it's not, then hopefully it's a delightful surprise. But I'm not holding my breath.
Maybe it's Bits Minutes.
I would love that.
That is on the board for sure. I think that's a great call, Latanya. I think like Chekhov's Miss Minutes, you know, like
for best right? agents, it's a literal cartoon character. I would love it. I would love it.
Like, what even are you?
Yeah. You know, I do want to know.
Miss Minutes is the timekeeper, and Miss Minutes is behind everything.
Yeah.
You know, if they get an evil Miss Minutes that looks exactly like that, but is like maniacal with Tara Strong's voice.
I'm into that.
A plus. Again, this is the zaniness I want.
Yeah. This is from Felipe, who over at the Post Show Recaps patron feed, Felipe alongside Ariel and Grace just recapped Luca, the Disney movie. So that is available in the patron feed. A really fun, good, long recap between the three of them. You should check that out. Felipe wrote in and said, why was Jamie Alexander uncredited? What the F? the return of Lady Sif after a bit of a hiatus. Didn't this kind of feel, though, like, well, we can get Jamie Alexander?
Yeah, no, I actually also thought it was the same thing.
Like, we're going to put Loki in the torture chamber. We're going to take him to hell. We're going to have him relive a horrible, toxic memory. It's like, we can get Jamie Alexander, but we can't get Chris. No. We can get Jamie, can't get... And, but I mean, like, it would be a horrible nightmare loop to just be, like, stuck in, like, basically a hallway where you're getting punched in the face and kneed in the groin ad nauseum. That sucks.
That does sound pleasant. Though?
Reliving the moment when Thanos chokes you and breaks your neck. I feel like that's a lot worse.
That wasn't his life. That he didn't do that. That wasn't him.
Yeah, I suppose that's accurate.
And they're not getting Brolin.
No, of course not.
Roland's got.
I'm just saying, like it was a fun gimmick, but it was also one of those moments of just like they probably.
I was thrilled to see her. I love Lady Sif. I love Jamie Alexander. It was great, but it was like gettable.
Yes. Yeah, and she's also like to remind people that she didn't like Hela didn't kill her, so she's actually going to be back in Thor: Love and Thunder.
That's the word. That's the word on the street. So they're setting that up, I guess, here with the Lady Sif returning to just destroy. Oh my god, so funny. To your point about Ravana, this is from Cutesy. Cutesy said, am I missing something? Because I thought we haven't gotten nearly the whole story for Ravana yet. I saw it less as she's revealed to be 100% the villain, and more as she's on the wrong side of this. I'm still not clear on her motivations beyond being pissed that Sylvie got away from her. Do we think that there is a world here where Ravana is able to not be the worst character on the show? Like, is there still a world where, like, she's not just going to be outright supervillain, Kevin?
Yeah. There is, right? Where, I mean, I feel like this character still has potential. I think next episode will be a big sticking point, right? Like, I just think it's in that delivery, too, of, like, have her be more about, like, that idea, too, where it's just, like, there are no timekeepers, but there needs to be order. Like, someone so devoted to the idea of just, like, there needs to be order to the chaos that they went down this path. And I think that's interesting. I think you could do something with that character. So there's possibilities there, and I'm fine with her being the big bad, ultimately. Again, I don't need, like, a big, punchy, you know, knuckle-drag-down fight. I would love a little more heady ending, but I don't know. Where it ultimately goes is going to be really interesting. There's only two episodes left. And if the next episode is like crazy romp, which I would be absolutely down for, there's a lot that I still think needs to be, cleaned up in the timeline for the final episode.
There's two left?
Yeah, that's it.
I thought there was three.
Nah, man, it always goes so fast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Gosh. I mean, like, to not even like really go into it until this deep into the podcast feels like an atrocity. But like, yeah, they pruned him. They pruned Mobius. No,
he's not Mobius.
He's going to come riding in on a jet ski, guys. It's going to be great.
Here's the thing. So this is from Adam. Adam wrote and said, I think they missed an opportunity to keep us waiting until next episode to reveal that something else happens after you're pruned. And the Mobius thing being pruned sort of is sort of ruined as a result a bit, because like now we're like suspecting that Mobius is also in this place wherever Loki is. And then if he's not, like, you know, like, does that like take away like some of like the gut punch that we're feeling? Cause like now we're leaving this episode, and instead of being like, wow, they killed Owen Wilson in episode four, the feeling at least that I have is like Owen Wilson will pop back up in some way, shape, or form. Like, I'm not like mourning the character at all. I'm not like mourning Loki. Like, there were a lot of people in the Discord when we were chatting about Loki this week being like, I would have loved it if like they like had like committed to pruning variant Loki and we don't see what happens to him this week, because now we've got like a full week of speculating. Okay, so is Loki now the Sylvie show? Like, they did it was the mid credit scene. Can it, Kevin, paradoxically be the best scene of the episode and also a mistake?
I think no, because for me, the moment Loki got pruned, I was just like, now they're both fine. And I know, like, as much as we'd be like, oh, but what if they like took that swing? They wouldn't. It's just one of those things where it's just like, I don't believe Disney would do it. Like, full stop. I just don't, like, nothing that has been shown yet has proven it, that they would take a risk or take a swing that hard. So yeah, it's just one of those moments for me that it didn't hit. And maybe, you know, it did for some people until the post credits, but the moment Loki got pruned, I was just like, okay, they're both fine. It's not Game of Thrones. They're not gonna do something like that crazy, because it's too risky for a company like them, unfortunately.
It's not that risky to kill Owen Wilson in episode 4.
He's expensive.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. It wouldn't be risky if it was just Owen Wilson. The moment is Tom Hiddleston, none of it matters. That's what I'm saying.
I think it's possible that the other agent is another Mobius.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, that would be cool. It's Luke Wilson. This is what I want. Maybe Luke Wilson.
what is their other brother's
name? Right, the third brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've known about him. Brother Obvious. Bottle Rocket.
Yeah.
Because he pops up in all of the Wes Anderson, not all, but like a lot of the Wes Anderson stuff, and you're just like, if a squint, maybe that's a Wilson brother.
Hey. I think I mentioned this. I was watching a Netflix movie that I found called Time Cave, and like that movie started off, and I had no idea this character showed up at the very beginning, and it's the voice I hear first, and I'm just like, Owen Wilson? And then I see him, and I'm like, that's not Owen Wilson. There's a third Wilson, isn't there? And it 100% was. It just, they talk the same way, and they look a lot alike.
It would have been. I mean, I definitely had this moment. They prune Mobius, and I was like, whoa, like I definitely did have that reaction.
I was like, oh,
in my notes.
I just wrote down how much I liked him, and I did, because like we discussed last week, is Owen Wilson our favorite thing of the show? And like, I literally was just like, I think Owen Wilson is my favorite thing in the show. And he gets pruned, and I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
Well, when he has that fantastic bit of acting where he's sitting down finally after he gets Loki out of the time loop with Lady Sif, and Loki tells him that all of the TVA agents, including him, you know, were like variants. There's a combination.
Gosh, that's a good one, Loki. Oh my gosh, you almost fooled me.
But also like a kind of a realization of like, this feels like it's like what you're saying is true.
It's real, yeah.
But I am like a company man, so mm-hmm. like I can't admit to you an actual variant that like this is true. And I thought that was some really good like just like facial acting coming from him. And his, and then a scene later in the office with Ravana was really good as well. So like, you know, he's been great throughout the show. It would be interesting if we got another variant of him, if he was like the secret agent, I guess, secret agent man.
I want to see him on a jet ski jumping a shark Mobius by the end of this.
Yeah.
I mean,
at this point, we've got to see him on a jet ski.
I mean, like, you know, he has the line as he's getting pruned that, like, you know, there is a world that's probably not the world we're living in. We're like, that was like the resolution of that. And so it's like bitter, you know, mm-hmm. like they answer it, but it's very bitter and that sucks and that's sad and that's great. But I also think like I think it is possible that version of him is gone. I would not be surprised, but I would be stunned if we don't see Owen Wilson on the show again at some point. And it will probably just be this version. Like he and Loki are going to find each other in New York. Like, gosh, this is what happens when you get pruned. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll be some version of that. To that point of acting, though, and like I feel like, yes, he was great. And I think like we can like, you know, have some questions about like the Ravana heel turn. But I think like Gugu Mbatha-Raw, like when she's in the elevator with her and she's like, why? And Sylvie's like, why did you take me? And she's just like, I don't remember. I thought that chilled me to my core. I thought that was great. I thought that was really, really good.
That was right.
Yeah. Like, and like the fact that like she kind of just like very just like coldly was just like, yeah, just like prune my guy over there. Like,
yeah.
You know, like I have basically no issues with that character. I think that she's just such a good actor, and I love the way that she's playing the character. So I want to know more. I need some depth to it, but like mm-hmm. I trust the performer at the very least to like infuse a lot of energy into even like a thinly written character. Like I think she's just great. Anything else, Kevin? You got anything that you want that we didn't touch on that you want to poke and prod at? Crocodile.
I'm trying to think of like if there's anything like major that happened that to call out, but I think we hit the big parts. I will say I thought what was really funny is that when you do see the timekeepers, they felt almost animatronic-y in the visuals. So
it's
I really
small world
like
after all,
right? I thought that was great that they were just robots, because it was a moment of you see them and you're just like, ooh, did they not hit the budget fully here? And then it's just like, no, they are robots. You're just like, oh, perfect. Like, yeah. I thought that was like, extremely well done. I'm interested where it goes. I want a lot of what was promised at the end of this episode in the post credits, and we'll see if they deliver. It'll be really upsetting if they don't, but benefit of the doubt, they'll give us something.
LT, final call, last call. What do you got on Loki episode 4, Loki writ large, predictions for the future? Anything you got?
A couple, like, you know, callbacks. So that Loki got Coulsoned, mm-hmm. you know, stabbed in the back.
For sure.
Was interesting. And then that I would not have known what any of those timekeepers were saying if I didn't have my closed captioning on. Like, that was just weird. The mics that they put on you to like create bass in people's voice. That was odd. and then the callback just to the first episode about whether or not you're a robot, you know, to go through that machine and then to like see that the people like that are the timekeepers that are supposed to be like the all knowing keepers of the timeline are actually robots is also it's really interesting to me. Just, you know, going forward, I'm really looking forward to seeing exactly when and where Loki Prime is, like, you know, the Loki that we know, to seeing how the timekeeper, the agents are going to like start to turn against the TVA and what the upheaval of that will be, and generally just figuring out what is the resolution going to be for this show. Like, what does this mean ultimately for the larger MCU if the TVA, one, comes into play, and two, you know, if it's no longer going to be staffed because people are just going to like walk out or whatever and be like, you know, we were variants. Like, we like to go back to our old lives. Like, what if they unionize essentially?
Yeah.
It's just going to be really interesting going forward. And I'm looking forward to see how they resolve this, because it's just chaos at this point. And
two episodes left to build that ladder, which chaos is. Heard that on a television show.
I
heard that on a show that airs on TV. I'm excited. I'm really pumped to see where it goes. Like, I'm sorry, Josh.
It did not air on TV.
It's not TV. You're right. Good point. It's a fair point. Good catch. All reservations aside, like, I'm very intrigued to see where it goes. I definitely am enjoying it more than I'm not, but like, I still think, for me, like, mid-tier Marvel. This is what these shows have been. Better than no Marvel for me, but like, it could be a little bit better, but that's fine. We'll get back into it next week. I guess I won't. Kevin will, with Mike Bloom. He's going to be on the podcast next week. The two of them will take down this episode. People have been asking, what are our Black Widow plans? Kevin and I were talking before. We're going to cover Black Widow. It's coming out on July 9th. Neither of us are going to be able to get into it like immediately afterwards. I'm going to be away. But Kevin and I, when we talk about the Loki finale the following week, we will also talk about Black Widow first reactions. And then the week after that, we'll do Loki feedback and Black Widow feedback. So basically, we'll get you both Loki and Black Widow simultaneously across those two podcasts. It'll be super fun. We're going to get into it. Reviews have been, I think, a little over the map. Most people seem to dig it, but like, there have been like a few people like, I don't know. So we'll find out. I'm excited to... Excited to check it out.
I hear that Florence Pugh steals the show, which in my opinion is true of like everything that she is in. So I'm honestly just looking forward to Florence Pugh.
I'm hype. LT, so great having you on here.
Great to be back.
You've been unpacking your knives and staying over at Reality TV Rehab-Ups talking Top Chef.
Yeah, that's true. The
finale is airing right now as we're recording this.
Right now, which shows how much I love the two of you.
Yeah.
That I have not like gone on strike.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
We're going to have like a little mini, like I've got my charcuterie board, like ingredients all ready to go. And my sister and nephew and I are going to watch some Top Chef, and then this weekend, I believe on Saturday, it'll probably come out Sunday or Monday. Haley and I are going to talk about it, cause Kurt won't, be in town. But Haley and I are going to talk about everything. And if you missed our last most recent episode, we had the great chef Brooke Williamson on, she was just fantastic.
She's awesome. She's cool.
Yeah. And answered all of my questions and basically made my dreams come true. So check me out there. And then there may be some, if you've been following me on Twitter, then you know that I like Olympic sports, specifically gymnastics. There may be some Rehab Olympics podcasting going on with me. So stay tuned.
Yeah. All right. Follow at LK Starks to get the latest on all of that. Latanya, I also have a thing I want to talk to you about. We'll talk offline. A little bit of a tease. It's a thing I'd like to ask you about.
Love it.
Kevin, what's going on? As this podcast is out, so too is the first episode of a new podcast series that you've launched in the main feed of Post Show Recaps, a patron-only podcast that we've released the first episode of for everybody to get a taste. Why don't you tell us what that is?
That's right. Brand new podcast coming out, hitting your feed, so go check it out. The podcast is called YA, in which Melissa Woodward, who's from Canada, which would explain the title, I cover YA fiction. We're going to talk about books, but we're mainly focused on adaptations, and we're going to, you know, go through various ones, presuming you all like it and want it to keep going. But the big one that we're kicking things off with that we touch on in this episode, and then we'll be getting deep down into with the future episodes, is, of course, the Twilight franchise.
Yes.
It's Sparkle Time, baby.
He's been threatening it forever. Kevin has been threatening it for so long. Kevin, I posted this in the Post Show Recaps main feed under the title, The Twilight Saga. Yes, really.
Yes.
Perfect.
We're so excited to be covering this. We're so excited to do this podcast. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you guys tune in. You can check out that first episode for free for everyone on the main feed. And then if you'd like to continue with us as we dive into the Twilight franchise, the Twilight Saga, you can sign up, Poshow or patreon.com/poshowrecaps. The $5 level gets you access to that podcast and the previous one Melissa and I did, which was the Mighty Ducks Game Changers podcast, and a bunch more wonderful goodness over there on the Patreon feed.
Nice. Okay, great stuff. That's in the Patreon feed. So many things in the Patreon feed. You can check that all out. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Put a smile on your face and mine and sign up today. You'll have the best time. Consider doing it. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Follow Kevin on the Twitter as well, at Kev Mahadeo. I'm at Round Howard. I will try and write into you and Mike with some thoughts on Loki. Kevin, for the podcast, I'll miss episode 5, but I'll be back for the finale, and we'll talk about Black Widow on that finale podcast as well. Latanya, a blast as always. So much fun getting you on here.
Hey, I'm glad I got to come back. Thank you.
Yeah, me too, for sure. 100%. All right, everybody. We'll be back next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.